But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Acknowledge me. We acknowledge the big performances from over the weekend, Texans and otherwise. And let's start with a couple guys we just talked about. They deserve acknowledgement. They got game balls, so why not get an acknowledgement from Payne and Pendergast? The first one is Damian Pierce.
Acknowledge me.
Acknowledge Damian Pierce for his 176 yards rushing yesterday. A career day, 19 carries, .176, 92-yard touchdown. Here's D'Amico Ryans after the game on Damian Pierce's performance on Sunday.
The thing about DP is what I always mention for all our guys. Whenever you get your opportunity, it's about what you do with that opportunity, right? And maximizing. And DP, he maximized his opportunities today with the carries that he had, made some really big runs for us. So I was excited. I think our whole entire sideline was excited to see him play the way he's played for us.
So I'll ask you the same question I asked Clint Sterner on the post-game show yesterday, Seth. Does this game yesterday by Damian Pierce matter when it comes to the postseason, or is the Texans, is the decision as far as volume goes still going to be just the Joe Mixon show for, you know, 26 carries and everybody else gets two carries?
I think it's still a whole lot of Joe Mixon. I think if anything, it maybe keeps them mindful that, okay, we got to figure out, why were we not able to get Damian Pierce going in the preseason or at any point in the regular season? Should we have been using him more? I think they're stuck in this bind right now where they feel like, well, we'd like to, but the blocking hasn't been good enough to, like, we need Joe Mixon out there every snap that we can to try to get the most that we can out of any given situation. So I hesitate to think, oh yeah, now all of a sudden the Texans are ferocious run blockers. There are too many instances in the game yesterday where they got their asses beat. They had some good. They had more good displays of blocking than they have had on average. But I still worry about the blocking, and especially versus good defenses. The Titans' defense has fallen apart since the last time the Texans lost to them. But I don't think it ends up making a difference in the playoffs. And people will be mad about that, and they're justified, I think, because it just speaks to the entirety of how bad the run game and how inconsistent the run game has been. Even in games where Joe Mixon's had over 100 yards rushing, they haven't been. There's still too many stuffs and tackles for a loss.
Did you see Cam Akers had a 58-yard run last night in that game?
The
Vikings game?
Yeah.
That was tough. I'm good for him. I like him. We met him on a post-game show one time, but that's tough to watch.
They don't know what they're doing in the run game. That's just flat out the. But we'll worry about that whenever.
Derek Barnett.
Acknowledge me!
Derek Barnett, as Seth pointed out earlier, not just a touchdown. He stuffed the stat sheet, man. Tackle for loss, sack, recovered fumble for a touchdown. He had a quarterback hit even after that. Derek Barnett was really, really good. Second touchdown of the year. After the game, we had Damian Pierce on the post-game show. And I asked him to, Damian Pierce, author of now two Angry Run Scepters. He won one for his kick return in the Baltimore game. I said, can you give an angry run rating for Derek Barnett's touchdown yesterday?
Listen, he's getting a 10 out of 10 off bat because he's 2 for 2. He's 2 for 2 in big boy rumbles right now. You know, so he's getting a 10 off bat. And then the only thing I could knock him on, is ball security. But then he got the points back when he got into the end zone. You know what I'm saying? As long as you score the football, coach don't care how you got that.
All right, so there you go. I love that.
Wait, what was the ball security issue?
The ball was kind of out there a little bit. I think there was a point in that run where it looked like Barnett might have wanted to lateral it at some point.
I thought that was what was so impressive about it was I think he started off wanting to do the right thing, which is to give it to a speedy guy.
Yeah.
But Miles Bryant wasn't up alongside him yet. Like, to where I think Barnett probably even saw him. But that part of it was the smart part, too, which was, all right, the corner's usually coming up on the outside. So he looked to the sideline for it, and then when he saw that there was nobody to pitch it to, that's when he did what he had to do, which was just turn into the machine that he is.
Yeah,
looking like one of those rugby videos where some overgrown 13-year-old is just trucking all these kids out there with no helmets on.
Mm-hmm.
That was beautiful, and that is twice in one season he's had a play that most defensive linemen get once in their career. It's just because he's not, yes, he's an edge rusher, but he's not like built like a, you know, he's a big Myles Garrett type or anything. He's a bigger guy.
Yeah.
He's kind of a combo type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's they've been impressive runs both times.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was great to see, man.
I got to look him up. I wonder if he ran track in high school or something.
Maybe.
I think he's one of these guys that was was recruited as a running back and then got moved to defensive end.
I mean, he was a first round pick. So obviously he probably, you know, for his position, did some good things at the combine and whatnot.
He was a two-time Mr. Football at Brentwood Academy.
In Tennessee? Well, there you go. See? And look, he got to do that in his home state yesterday. That had to feel good. No wonder he was so juiced up. That was great. All right, J.J. Watt.
Acknowledge me.
We acknowledge J.J. Watt. Apparently, they gave J.J. Watt the stage to do this yesterday because they replayed the Derek Barnett touchdown on CBS, like, insert highlight style like they do. Like, hey, let's go back to the studio to JB and the guys for this update. But they did it during the Texans game. Like, they split the screen. The Texans game is still going on, and they allowed J.J. Watt to throw some shade at Tennessee.
Time to go to New York for an update.
Guys, this must be a mistake, but I'm going to do it anyway. We have got a Houston Oilers fumble picked up by the Houston Texans and ran back for a touchdown. And yes, that does appear to be two times in a row that the Houston Oilers uniforms have been worn against the Houston Texans, and the Texans happen to be 2-0 while wearing them. How about that?
Thank you, JJ, for that history lesson.
So, JJ, so I wonder if that, like he said, this may be a mistake because they're showing a Texans highlight during a Texans game. Or do you think they just, JJ came up with the idea on the fly and like, hey, this would be funny if I did this? And they said,
They either did it on the, or a producer thought of it. This would be a good moment. One thing I noticed about JJ yesterday, I've been monitoring this throughout the season, is how comfortable does he look in his suit and what's the fit like? Because for guys that are freakishly big and lean and muscular, it's actually kind of hard to look good in a suit. Think of like John Cena.
Yeah.
Like, John Cena's got nice suits and everything, and they're tailored, but like it doesn't quite look right because he's such a big guy.
Right.
JJ, early in the season, still looked a little bit like John Cena. Over the second half of the season, his suits have been fitting him a little too well for him to make a comeback.
Do you think he's thinned out a little bit, or you think
I think he's just whatever the body composition is. He's still freakish, but his suit just fits a little too well.
All right, so it sounds like you are acknowledging the certainty that J.J. Watt is not coming back to play football again.
I'd say there's only a 3% chance that he comes back.
All right, we'll acknowledge the 3% chance.
Acknowledge me!
By the way, let's acknowledge the Jacksonville Jaguars real quick.
Acknowledge me!
They just fired Doug Peterson. Several texts.
They did?
Yeah, they just fired Doug
How
Peterson.
How could they? Oh!
Trent Baalke.
Man, you know what? The Colts did the right thing. They're rolling with who they got.
I know.
They're going to try to figure out not just if Anthony Richardson can play quarterback, but if he can stay healthy while doing it. They're going to do it with Shane Steichen and Chris Ballard. They're going to do it without Pat McAfee. And they're doing the right thing. But now the Jaguars got to go and fire Doug Peterson.
Yeah,
thanks a lot.
Yeah, they'll probably fire Balky now, too. Yeah, thanks a lot, Shad Khan. The streak.
Acknowledge me!
The Texans road winning streak in the AFC South is at 11 now. And yet another game where the Texans were an underdog. They've been underdogs in 8 of these 11 games. Yesterday probably was, in retrospect, probably shouldn't have been. But they were. So now it's at 11, Seth, the streak. They've not lost a division road game since week 6 of the 2021 season. The $100 parlay, mythical, that I made up for this 11 games, if it were an 11-game parlay, would pay, $100 would pay almost $2.4 million right now.
So if I'm going to put this in my file of just in case I ever figure out time travel,
right?
Like to go back and capitalize on it.
Yeah.
Okay, if I could go back in time, back to week 11 of 2021, and start betting on the Texans every road game in the division, then I'll have a cool $2.3 million by the end of it.
It's a more fun way to say the chances of this happening are 1 in 24,000, basically.
Yeah.
So that's
Did you ever see Nate Bargatze's bit about, like...
No, I don't know who he is.
Yeah, he's a comedian. He's a guy that...
He was part of the Christmas Day stuff on Amazon.
Yeah. But he's about, like, if he went back in time, he would have no idea what to do with it. You know, like, it was just like, hey, what stocks should I buy? Like, I don't know. Like, I'd have all these ideas. Like, I could tell people about a smartphone and how cool it is. But like, how do you do it? How do I make one? Like, just satellites?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or at the end of the day, I'd be like, I don't know. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
That's funny. I'm going to acknowledge the Minnesota Vikings owners here real quick.
Acknowledge me.
They bought up $2 million worth of tickets for around $1,000 apiece for this game that ended up being a big waste of money. They got blown out by the Lions. But they sold them to around 2,000 of their prime season ticket members and partners at $200 apiece. And
at 20% of the normal cost
of what they paid for it,
they were $1,000 a piece, and they sold them for $200.
$200 to valued members of their Vikings season ticket and sponsor community, so that you could have some purple representation in what was largely a blue building last night. I thought that was pretty cool. I wonder if more teams do this. I wonder if more teams like to get at least some sort of advantage or augment the advantage on the road if they feel like it's $2 million. We're a $10 billion enterprise or whatever.
I wonder how the Lions owners feel about that, or Lions management.
They tried to get the league to step in. Like, they tried to, sometimes they try to get Ticketmaster, Ticketmaster's a partner of the league. How are you allowing this to happen? That kind of thing. So I think they, if I'm not mistaken, I think they tried to block it, but there were no rules broken, you know?
Right, yeah. The dirty little secret that the owners never really want to talk about is that there's a good portion of season tickets in a lot of places that are owned by actual ticket brokers.
Yes.
So it's like the whole, like, hey, don't sell your tickets to the opponent. You're appealing to the cutthroat business person who doesn't give a damn about whether your team has home field support or not.
That's exactly right. All right, we've only got a couple minutes here. Let's skip down to the last one, Ben. The Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Acknowledge me!
We're acknowledging the Duke's Mayo Bowl. If you're not one of the big playoff bowls, or even that next tier of bowls that I think the Texas Bowl is in, that has good matchups every year, sells their tickets out, big TV contracts, all of those things, then you better have a good gimmick. And the Duke's Mayo Bowl, I think most people have known the gimmick for a while, that the winning coach gets doused in a vat of mayonnaise. I don't know that this was that this had been a tradition, though. They had a mascot there that's basically a big mayonnaise jar, and PJ Fleck was the winning coach. Minnesota beat Virginia Tech in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, and here was the unveiling of who was underneath the, you know, who's underneath the costume of the mayonnaise jar.
We have to unveil the surprise of who's underneath here. Tubby, you want to reveal yourself?
Yeah.
Flava Flav. That was PJ Fleck. PJ Fleck puts his arm around him and just screams, "It's Flava Flav!"
And then PJ Fleck had a like a swim cap ready for the occasion.
Yeah.
But he didn't end up wearing it because, I mean, he already, like many good swimmers, he's already got his head shaved bald.
That's right.
And the cool thing about it with Fleck too, he's one of the better dressed football coaches.
Oh yeah,
out
he wears
there.
A tie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's well, he had like a very collegiate, you know, sweater. He has a sweater yeah. with a tie underneath and everything.
Yeah.
And he looked like he was all about it. You made a good point. To off air, which is that, man, if Belichick ever gets in this situation, it's going to be the best.
The ACC has a tie to this game. That's why Virginia Tech was in it. If North Carolina yeah. wins the Duke's Mayo Bowl next year, it's going to be one of the greatest moments in TV history.
I think in the Mayo advertising wars, the Mayo wars, which I never would have anticipated. I didn't think that the follow-up to the Cola wars several decades later would be the Mayo wars.
Right.
I mean, Hellman's and Duke have gone in. They're going hard in the paint with their advertising spends.
Yeah.
Except that Hellman's went in huge with Will Levis, benched quarterback.
Yes,
and the Duke's Mayo Bowl is becoming a mainstay of the culture of college football.
It is, yeah.
The only thing I would say is that I think that when they dump the mayo, the viscosity of the mayo doesn't look right. I think they add some water to it or extra vegetable oil or something.
Oh, really?
To make it pour better.
Yeah,
it came out almost like Gatorade on them. I don't think that's a good visual for it. It's not how I want my mayo to look. Whenever I, you know, when I douse you in mayonnaise, it's partly the thickness and the resistance as part of the fun of it.
That's
you
why
draw
I,
the process out.
It's why I let you do it. Yeah. I love the thickness of
watery mayo dumped over your head.
I'd be so mad if it was watery mayo that you dumped on me. So yeah, there you go. Duke's Mayo Bowl, man. I tell you what, Hellman's did hit it big with that. The Mayo Game Day Be Delicious slogan, though, is pretty good. That's pretty fun.
I've wanted to ask Ross about the Mayo Wars, but I'm guessing because when Ross Tucker comes on, it's sponsored by Hellman's.
He'd be biased.
I tweeted that out yesterday that I think that Ross Tucker has become one of my favorite color commentators, and I'm biased, obviously, because we know Ross. And yet, it's not like I ever... He wasn't my favorite color. He wasn't one of my favorite color commentators before. I think he's really grown into the role.
He's really good in games like yesterday. Or yeah, like the Chargers and the Patriots a week ago that was 40-7. And that may... Well, I got a thought on that. We'll get to that. It's also Black Monday, and guys are getting fired, including in the division. Let's dig into that as well coming up next.